In today's episode, Mike thinks we should steal an IP, I talk about scum, and Samantha knew it was the Canadians. This is Maniac Mansion.
I'm thinking of starting a business.
Oh yeah?
Where I take people's photos that they want printed and I print them with my Game Boy camera. And then mail the prints back to them.
Nice.
With as much as vintage stuff is coming back,
I was going
to make a killing.
I was going to say, are you going to be able to get the stock though for...
Yeah, so I did a lot of research, and it's thermal paper, and all of the Nintendo printer paper doesn't work anymore, because the glue, it was a sticker, so the adhesive ruined the paper.
Oh.
It's useless now.
It's useless.
But there is a, one of the Casio calculator brands, it has the exact fit. The only problem is that, one, it's not going to be sticky anymore, but it's also thicker. I mean, the paper itself is the same width, but there's more of it on the spool, so it doesn't close the cover all the way until you use enough of it.
Ah.
But I got four rolls.
Well, that sounds like a... wonderful business idea coming from the mind of a maniac who will one day live in a mansion. Hi, I'm Josh.
Oh, we're starting. All right.
I mean, Samantha's told a lot of bad jokes, but that one might have been the worst.
Yeah, Samantha, you really got to watch those jokes. They're terrible.
Why do you refer to yourself in the third person? First person? Whatever. Josh, Samantha, I'm Josh. Wait, no, I'm Mike.
I'm Lyle. I'm Razor.
Nice, very nice. Well, today on Funsphere Game Club, we're talking about a game called Maniac Mansion. And the interesting thing is, the interesting thing is we played different versions of this game today, folks.
What?
So, our notes are going to kind of be in two different places, but I'll give us a quick rundown of the game. So, Maniac Mansion is a technically 1987 graphic adventure game developed and published by Lucasfilm Games. It is their first self-published game. As Mike said, you can... It follows the teenage bracket. Ah, shit. Never mind.
I didn't say any.
I know. I was going to say, and I didn't say it either because I got tongue-tied. But basically, you play as a group of kids exploring the Maniac Mansion owned by...
Maniac!
Oh, my God. Yes, they are.
You're skipping them. They're not just kids exploring. The main guy's girlfriend got kidnapped.
By a maniac.
Yes. By a maniac.
A whole family of maniacs.
Dr. Fred. All right, so you guys played the computer game, correct?
No, I played the NES.
I played
version.
Whatever oh, the you heck played... that Link was.
Okay, so Samantha played the original.
So you played the better version.
Yes. And Mike and I played the 1990 Nintendo version.
Foreshadowing.
All right. Well, you know what? Since I've flubbed the notes and everything so bad, let's just get into talking about the game. Because I actually don't have that much info. I mean, there's a ton of info about the game, but it's all pretty standard.
I mean, they were so brazen about the whole ordeal. They put their names at the beginning of the game. They run the credits at the beginning. How often does that happen on the old games?
Very rarely, actually. But
I would have thought they would have written a book about it by now.
Well, I was going to say, the only really super interesting part of the notes that I'll make as far as the development of the game is this game has a custom designed engine with maybe the best name for a game engine that I've found so far.
R2-D2.
Touch,
no.
Butt grab.
Boogers and butts.
It's the scum ish engine.
Close with booger.
You know, scum. Like,
wait, really?
Yes.
S-C-U-M-M?
Yes, S-C-U-M-M.
That's I mean, I'm not admitting that I have downloaded ROMs or anything, but that was the name of the emulator that I haven't used before.
That's correct. You've never used and have no knowledge of. No, the scum one stands for the Script Creation Utility for Maniac Mansion. So that's where the name comes from. And this actually, the game engine sticks around for a while and becomes kind of a staple of the Lucasfilm games. So that's where we're going to go. All right, so let's go around the room, talk about what we think about the game. Mike, why don't you start for us?
All right. So I did enjoy it. I couldn't beat it on my own. Especially not in the time frame that we had, which was a considerable time frame. I frankly didn't want to dump that much time into it, but I was really impressed with what it was and the time it was, especially for being a fan of that genre. I had some serious gripes, though, and I am sure we'll get to those pretty soon.
Absolutely. Samantha, what about
you? Man, it took me, like, half an hour to get in the gate in the beginning. I couldn't fucking do it. It was so hard. I liked the music, and the whole... I didn't play it very much because I got angry with it, as is usual, but I did think the whole time, I was like... Has this been adapted into, like, a movie or anything? Because I think it would be kind of fun.
It should. Did you guys eventually cave and just watch somebody play through the game?
Yeah. Yes, this time I did.
So, I think it's crazy how, like, I usually hate Let's Plays. I won't even watch them if there's dialogue involved. Like, I don't want to hear anybody's commentary. I just want to see the game being played. And that was maybe one of the more enjoyable playthroughs of a game I've seen. Most of it was like, how did they expect that we would... Why? How? There's too much going on. But at the same time, like, it flowed. We talked about this with Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. Hey, I said it right.
Yes, you did.
Cinematic experiences were so few and far between in games at that time. But, oh, my God. It makes sense that Lucasfilm had something to do with this game.
Of course. So, I'm not going to spoil it just yet, but I think I know something about this game and series that you guys don't know.
Most probably.
So I'm just going to tease you with something that something you guys have said has happened.
They made a movie about it?
No, but not yet. Let's just tease that a little bit more. So, I'm going to say that I kind of did like Mike did and just watched the playthrough on it this time just because, you know, I have not had time for many video games lately, especially
did
this one.
Did you try to play it?
Let me just say, as a kid, I loved this game. And it was a game I could play because this was back in the day when you had hours and hours and hours you could throw into a game and learn to play it.
It's definitely a trial and error.
Oh, certainly. Certainly is.
And that's what threw me off is depending on the person you're using, depending on when you go through a certain room, like everything could change.
Yes.
So that was the bane of my existence. what I, because I had played it a couple of times, like renting it, and then once I got my Raspberry Pi, I had
which you do not own. Times. You do not own. Good.
I mean, that I definitely own. I'm proud to own that one. but like playing through it there, I would do like an hour or two, and it was always something different.
Uh huh.
So it was, what was enjoyable then is like frustrating now.
Actually, I have very much the same sentiment. You know, I really loved this game as a kid, and actually, I don't like the point and click genre all that much. There are very few games in that that I care for. But this one is the one that's like, I still really like this game. And when I did play it, I was very much enjoying it. And I put like an hour, hour and a half into it before I was like, I don't really want to take the time and pull up a guide and figure out how to beat this on my own anymore. I just want to see someone do it quickly, because you can do it in about an hour.
If you do everything right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I was like, I really miss those days where I could spend hours and hours and hours figuring out a game. But I was really struck by the thought of like, I certainly don't have time for that anymore. And with all the modern conveniences of like the internet and guides and stuff like that, guide videos, that's kind of a rare thing anymore to just like, I'm going to just sit down and play this game completely blind and have the time to figure this out. There's so many games nowadays that it's like, there's no way you would devote that amount of time to it.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to jump into my gripe, because I think it's a pretty decent transition from that. My biggest thing was, like, clearly user interface is an issue. Like, it's pretty tedious to use, and that, like, what should be and what was at the air, like at the time that it came out, was like a great boon or like an accolade to the game, like how complex it is. It's great until you realize like the implications of, well, like, really juggling three different characters and then like all of the verbs that you get for your actions, they couldn't have just said like interact get use read
but that
turn on turn off, and they all have their own like way too many options, way too many characters, and then you're going with point and click.
Well, I hate to be contradictory to you, but the entire reason the Scum engine was developed was to combat, at the time, the far, far, far more tedious options of having to do command line. So stuff like that. I actually think that's one of the biggest boons of this game, is its current interface of...
There are so many options that more or less do the same thing.
There are...
Like, you have the option to say use the tape player, but it doesn't work. You have to say turn on the tape player.
That's correct.
Bet you wish it had gambits, huh?
No, I don't.
I don't want the game to play itself.
Oh, that's correct.
No, I'm kidding.
No, actually, I thought that was one of the most clever things. Is like, well, you're like, you think, oh, I need to turn on the recorder. No, it's like you need, or I need to use the recorder. No, you need to turn it on.
It's like playing a game.
It's like redundant.
The menu was written by Faye, who, or a genie that's going to get you because you messed up your wish.
The monkey's paw.
I just kind of viewed it as it makes you stop and think about what you're actually wanting them to do. I thought that was just kind of clever. Like, I get it that it can be simplified.
But
down.
At the end of the day, it was another 45 seconds that I wasted just fumbling through. And again, I played it on the NES, so I'm using a D-pad to move a cursor.
Which I will, again, have to come to its defense. I actually think it's still rather snappy for something that's 30-plus years old at this point.
I was very thankful that they have the select button for the shortcuts, but they only have the top four. Commands, like, I should be able to toggle through every one, because it's, I could still hit that button faster than scrolling down to what I want and back up to what I'm pointed at.
I was just thinking, like, so let me ask you this, Mike, because we'll never ever do an episode on this game. Did you ever play a game called Nightshade? I was gonna say, you probably remember the cover more than the game.
No.
Okay, well, it
I played Shadowgate, which I think has some stuff similar to this.
Well, I was going to say Nightshade was a game that I always got tricked by the cover because it always looked really exciting when I was renting it. And then it had a point-and-click style thing, and it was far, far worse than it. So I was like, I automatically draw comparisons about how good the Scum Engine in this game is. Just because of how bad it is on other games like Nightshade and things like that.
I'm looking it up now.
So, Samantha, what are some of your gripes or anything about the game? Since you're the newest to it, I imagine.
Well, I mean, pretty much the same. It was too much, like, having to cycle through different people to do different things, and then all of them, like, a million different options for everything. I just didn't want to deal with it. And it was really kind of annoying to play on that in the browser.
Okay.
Because it I felt like sometimes, because you can use your mouse obviously to like hover over things and click, but sometimes I felt like it wasn't very responsive, and then I just didn't enjoy playing it. But I kept thinking like it would be really fun as a movie or something, like a really campy sort of horror film.
What about it as a TV show?
That would be fine too, probably, but I don't know how long it could last.
How about three seasons?
What?
Okay, so like I said, that's kind of what I was teasing. There is an adaptation of Maniac Mansion in another form of media.
Nice.
So, Mike, do you have a physical copy, or are you playing an emulator? Just real quick.
No, it was the emulator.
Okay. Well, I have a physical copy of the game. And on that front cover,
I remember it.
On that front cover, it says, "Now a television show on the Family Channel." Okay. Huh. So, yes, there is an adaptation. A TV show made by Canadians.
I knew it. I knew it would be Canadian.
So, Mike.
I immediately thought, "Are you afraid of the dark?"
So, Mike, you might actually be interested in this because I know that you like Kids in the Hall and some of the Second City guys, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Eugene.
Don't like him. Love him.
So, Eugene Levy was the spearhead for this series.
Oh,
wow.
He did a lot of writing. Like I said, it was on the air from September 1990 to April 4, 1993. It starred...
So all you Schitt's Creek people.
Yeah.
You found your new show.
Well, kind of. Joe Flattery is the main star. He is...
Really?
Yes!
Hell yeah!
I was going to say, I thought you might like that. Yeah.
Samantha, you know
him. I'm looking it up. I probably know his face.
He's he's the dad from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, wow, okay. Maniac Mansion.
Yep. But,
And he was in, he was with, I think he was a duo with Dave Thomas. But they were both in that Sesame Street movie, Follow That Bird. a pivotal movie in my childhood.
I agree. That is a fantastic movie. Unfortunately, the series isn't actually that good. Well, let me rephrase that. The series isn't that good for a adaptation of a video game. The series on its own is actually kind of entertaining. But it is only... It
seems like it's more a comedy.
Yeah.
It says 92% liked this show.
I was going to...
Which, I mean, you could say the game is a comedy, too.
Oh, 100%. It's a dark comedy. I especially like the older version that Samantha played. It's actually more... Much more bleak, much more violent, and...
Martin Short is in this show.
For sure.
Yes.
What? All right, well, now... We have to do a follow-up of this episode where we watch the show and talk about it and then replay the game and see if it changed our opinion.
I'm going to save us a little work there, Mike. Literally, the only connection that it has to the game is the title Maniac Mansion and the doctor's name is Fred. That's about it. It has very little to do.
Is Martin Short the doctor?
No, he's not.
Oh. I can't imagine going by the premise of the game that it could even be a full series.
No, it's actually, like I said, I was surprised it went three seasons.
I could see it as a movie.
So that was...
Even a short film. Yeah. But yeah, a series would...
It's a,
how do you continue to...
You don't. You don't have anything to do with the game at all. I was going to suggest you can find the first season for free on YouTube. I didn't go as far as to see if I could find the second or third seasons. I will say it has got a trippy, trippy opening episode. I would actually suggest watching that one. Again, don't expect anything from the game in there, but it is a very interesting premise for a first episode of a first season of a show. I will give it. It's got a really creative spin.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah. So if we want to follow up, if you guys want to watch that, maybe we could do that follow up.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of my big thing. Is I bet you guys did not know about that, and like I said, I was aware of it, and I was surprised how long it went on. Let's see here. Okay, so just another thing, Maniac Mansion is actually kind of more famous for its sequel. Did anybody ever play the sequel?
No, I'd not even heard of a sequel.
Okay. I didn't even know this game existed.
Well, this
Samantha's talking into the mic like she's on the stand.
Yeah. No.
No, so, I did not know that game.
Yeah, it's called Date.
You lean in so far. That is correct.
Okay, so,
Your Honor.
So it was called Day of the Tentacle. It actually just had a remaster remake the last couple of years.
So did anyone else get any... Pet Shop of Horrors vibe?
Okay, I can, yeah. Especially there's a certain plant in there that's, you could almost say, is a direct reference.
Wait, Pet Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
The anime?
Little Shop of Horrors?
No. Yeah. I almost said Littlest Pet Shop of Horrors. But that could be another game or movie of its own.
Stop motion short film.
I was going to say, that is awesome.
With those toys.
That was also something that had a strange adaptation. That movie had a cartoon series about him as a little kid in the plant.
I believe that.
All the tentacle stuff, and then the goofy doctor.
The dark humor, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, this should be a movie, actually.
I will say, now that we're really getting into the spoilers, I definitely didn't expect everybody to be good. It was a huge surprise to me. I thought especially you walk in and you've got the chainsaw and the knives glued to the board and all that blood and all the old food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seem super crazy.
But they were all...
But then it's just about a wife who's disgruntled with her husband who's been locked in a basement for 5 years.
That's correct.
Trying to save the world.
They're just chilling.
And they're a weird kid.
Yep. I was going to say, it was like, this is a game that wanted to show more of the villain side, too. Like, it wanted to make the villains funny and not just be this super bad person stole my girlfriend for some reason. I was also going to say it was really neat at the time, especially with the selectable option of all six characters and how many ways that opens up. Like, you can play this game has more variations than some modern games do. I was thinking about,
for sure,
the Telltale games, like how much they're like, yeah, you can choose to do this or this, but it all kind of always leads to the same path. I was like, no, there are legitimate outcomes to making a selection in this game. I was going to say that I like also the fact that they play a lot with that humor that Mike just mentioned. Like, you can get the chainsaw and you think there's all this blood and stuff. But, like, some of the stuff they mess with you. Like, you think there's blood coming from the refrigerator. You open it and it's a broken bottle of ketchup.
Just like Gone Home or whatever the fuck. Right? It's just hair dye.
Yeah, sure.
I would say they were influenced by this game.
I could see that. I wonder how many like modern developers would be like, yeah, I totally love this game and I'd love to play it. I don't think it'll ever see like a, even though the sequel apparently was so loved it got a remake, I don't think this game ever will.
It will get a movie.
I think it should. If we could move this game to modern controls, I think it would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this game deserves a modern touch, for sure. It's so hard to play now.
Well, we touched it, and we're modern, so...
Proximity!
I don't know, maybe they could convince Mr. Eugene Levy to take another shot at it and see if he wanted to be involved.
Let's give it to Dan.
Yeah.
I don't know who Dan is. Who is Dan?
Dan is his son.
Oh.
That he hosted SNL, Josh. Where have you been?
At my house. I don't watch SNL or anything like that, so I'm sorry I'm not following.
He was the creator of Schitt's
Creek. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well...
And one of the principal actors.
Yeah, I know he's involved in that show. I haven't watched.
And the main writer.
And him and his sister in that show. Not his actual sister who's in the show, but Alexis. They never stop moving. They're like, all the time. It's so tiring to watch.
I say all this and I've only seen like 2 or 3 episodes, but I'm saying it on
It's really good. It definitely, the first season was hard to watch, but then it just like, I don't even know, like a light switch. It suddenly got really good, and then you go back, and it's easier to watch the first season. Anyway.
It's like Parks and Rec. Oh my god, that first season of Parks and Rec, whenever it first aired, I was so pissed off. I was like, what is this shittier Office clone? And then magically, because I kept watching it, it's on the same 4-hour block Thursday or Wednesday or whatever. And you just settle into that routine, and all of a sudden I started noticing, man, The Office sucks, and Parks and Rec is great.
I have nothing to contribute to this conversation at this point.
Well, you should watch more good TV.
Yeah.
I will. I'm going to track down...
Stop watching Maniac.
I was going to say, I'm going to track down season 2 and 3 of Maniac Mansion.
Google says there's only 2 seasons of Maniac Mansion, so I don't think you'll ever find that third one.
Now it's a challenge.
It hasn't been created yet.
Oh. Well.
It's supposed to be foreboding as well.
I was going to say, anybody have any closing thoughts on this game or anything like that? Like I said, I think Mike is right that we definitely need a modern rework. I was
6 re-releases in a movie.
Yeah, and honestly, just like they could even just like update the soundtrack. It's fun.
I mean, why? Spoilers. But why is Night Trap getting released on every dang system?
Oh, because it's like a...
It's part of video game history as a whole.
It's like Infamous,
I would say.
I think that this game is, too.
I would agree with you that it should be, but I agree with Samantha also that Night Trap is far more infamous than it is famous.
I guess they were competing with, because King's Quest had started by that point.
Yes,
right?
King's Quest was actually a big reason they went with the graphical design. The very first concept for Maniac Mansion was actually like a pen and paper style game.
Oh, that it would work really well as a TTRPG. Really well.
There were a lot of letters there, and I'm not sure I followed all of them.
Tabletop role-play game?
Okay.
Like D&D or Pathfinder.
There we go. Maybe that's...
Yeah, it would actually work very well.
Maybe that's the next re-release.
Maybe. Like a fun little module, a one-off? Yeah, I think... Because it can be different every time.
I mean, LucasArts doesn't even exist anymore, nope. So we could probably just take it, right?
No, I'm sure if we tried to do anything, Disney's lawyers, they still exist, and you better believe they would come gunning for you.
All right, Mickey, do something about it then.
Maniac Mansion.
Oh, I got it. They should redo like 1 month of the year. They should do the Haunted Mansion becomes the Maniac Mansion. You know what, Disney? You can have that one for free. That's a great idea.
You know, speaking of, as a callback, the monkey's paw, here we are asking for this. We're going to get it, but it's going to be like when Nickelodeon said, hey, we're bringing back Legends of the Hidden Temple. And we get it, and it's a shitty made-for-TV movie that...
Oh, like the Kim Possible movie.
Be careful what you wish for.
The only good part of that Kim Possible movie was the casting of Dr. Draken and Shigo. I just look.
Well,
yeah,
sure. All right. Well, I don't think anybody's got anything else left to say about it. So I guess we'll just call it here and thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode of Funsphere Game Club.
Bye. This sounds like the jingle that the guy made on Bob's Burgers, the Gene's annoying girlfriend's dad.
No, it was that. It was.
I know
the
that, but it reminded me of the.
Which was so fun.
It's a good song. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
And now our review of Maniac Mansion, the TV show. Why don't you guys give me your thoughts on Maniac Mansion, the television series?
I think
yeah, that
it shouldn't
theme
have
song
been called
was great.
That.
Okay, so Samantha, you dug the theme song, or are you just being very sarcastic?
No, I liked it because it was funny, but I don't know if it was supposed to be funny. Maybe it was.
Okay. Right.
Just that it was that 80s like family comedy theme song, you know.
So my takeaway is you shouldn't let I love SCTV, but you should not give a bunch of improv people free reign over a licensed story.
I was so confused the first episode. They're like, wow, it's our 10-year anniversary. It's like, this feels like
a gimmick
live
before
theater.
A gimmick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't have the means to make the show they really wanted to. I did not get very far. I got to, like, the ball bouncing down into the lab and then the uncle being like, you gave me a heart scare. That's about it.
I
was going to say, it was an interesting high concept for a premiere episode, though. I'll give them that.
I thought I clicked on the wrong one like 100 times. I was like, I don't
as
want
did
the
I.
10-year anniversary. I want the first episode.
It was really hard, too, because you could tell that the version that was on YouTube was so It looked like a VHS that had been passed around.
Oh, yeah.
For a solid two decades. So, it, like, you can't hear or see hardly what's going on.
Yeah.
And for it to be as, It was kind of like a pompous, highbrow, holier-than-thou kind of... when it just ultimately fell flat, I thought. I know that I didn't give it the chance that it deserved, but it was really hard to give it that chance. The way
it was weirdly quiet, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it kind of felt like a live production, but with no music and the dead, like, there seemed like a lot of dead air in between bits, I guess. They're just like, ha 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 ha. It's been 10 years.
I also think they took quite a few opportunities to take shots at the TV industry at the time with that episode and stuff like that.
Which is probably why all the people in production made it shittier than it could have or had to be. Probably a bunch of jaded workers.
I was going to say, and I'm sure that that show was made on a shoestring budget. Yeah. But that is awesome that you guys did give it a shot and shared your thoughts.
So you said that Eugene Levy was involved, and I was like, I still don't see him. And Angela was watching it with me, and she's like, is it that fly? And we couldn't tell for a little while because the resolution was never good enough to see the fly's face.
He wrote and produced it.
He wrote and produced it.
Oh, I know. I looked
star.
It up. That I thought that was the most arrogant thing of all was him taking it over, and he's like, no. It's not going to be about the game at all. It's going to be about what I want it to be about. Like, at what point do you just say, like, all right, let's make it something else. Let's not call it Maniac Mansion. It would have been fine as a show. It was the Metroid Prime Federation Force of TV shows. Or what was the other one? No, Other M. It was the Metroid Other M of TV shows. It would have been an alright game if it weren't a Metroid game.
I was going to say the Star Fox Adventures of...
Yeah, well, that was the opposite, though. That was designed from the beginning to be a different game, and they turned it into a Star Fox game.
Gotcha.
Would not recommend if we're giving... even though we swore we would not give recommendations.
Well,
anymore, yeah.
I would give it a second chance if I could find like a normal to high definition.
Yeah,
high definition
I
want to
see
quality.
The actual tape.
I think it's just interesting to see as a curiosity more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody might like it, you can check it out on the YouTube. I mean, all right, everybody listening to this podcast is already on this podcast, so.
All right, I think that's good for the review. Thanks, guys.